May I just say this morning, we talk about Father's Day, but let's consider the ultimate Father, who is God. He's always with us, and I believe that we, in our lives, because the Holy Spirit lives within us, that we're in the Father's house continually. And so, Father God, this morning we acknowledge you as the great Father, the great example, the great lover of our souls, the one who is eternally with us. And we thank you for that, Lord. Amen. Well, welcome to Father's Day. Glad you're with us. It's a special day. We're going to have a morning tea, as Pastor Ben said, and we will have a gift for fathers as well. And before the morning is over, I do want to pray with men. I think it's significant that we do that. I think we've got to empower men by prayer, by, if you like, laying on of hands, by declaration, to see God work in the lives of men. If there's ever been a need in the world, in our earth today, it's a day for men. We've got to see men rise up, because men have become an endangered species. Or I should say fathers have become an endangered species. There's so many things working against them. But we've got to rise up as men and say, we're not giving that up. We're going to hang on to what God intended and do what God has called us to be. So today's a day of celebration. I want to share a story with you. A pastor friend shared this with me, and I've tried to find the source and get more detail on it. So I'll give you the gist of it. And if you can pick up from there, that'll be good. There's a guy who went into the forest. He was having a day out, and he was planning to do some, just walking through the forest and finding his way. He wasn't on any particular known tracks. But along the way, he lost his compass. He thought, oh, well, I can find my way out of here. I know pretty much, you know, where I came, where I'm going. But after many hours, he hadn't found his way out, and he had to recognise he was lost. So he decided, well, people will be looking for me, so I'll light a fire. And that will attract people, the smoke will attract people. So he lit a fire. Unfortunately, that fire caught in the forest. Many, many hectares of forest were destroyed, hundreds of hectares of forest were destroyed, but so were homes. And you know that we have that in Australia, where fires have raged through, particularly in Victoria, destroyed homes. But in this particular story, many lives were lost as well because of the fire, all because a man lost his compass. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, men, finding your direction. Because when men lose their direction in life, that means many people will become lost. Families can be lost. Children can be lost. Potentially, and we're talking about Christianity, people can lose their lives for eternity because men have lost their direction, lost their sense of compass and purpose that God has for them. The community suffers, and it's a sad day when that happens. We see it in many ways. We see it in our parliaments. We see it in localities. We see it amongst businessmen. When men have lost what they really need to do in finding their way, that's a sad, sad thing. I spent time in Melbourne about 50 years ago. My company transferred me there. And I remember, unlike Sydney sort of grew from the First Fleet, and they established around the tank stream there, and they, you know, the roads went out. So Sydney's roads aren't exactly laid out in grid form to find your way. But Melbourne didn't start till about 1835, when John Batman arranged a treaty with the local Indigenous people. And so Melbourne grew with a little more sense of setting it out and laying purpose. And what I found when I was down there, because 50 years ago, no GPS, no car navigation, you just had your street map, you know, on the street beside you. I was on my own street map there, trying to find my way around Melbourne and find places I had to go. And I found myself driving along streets, you know, good straight streets, grid format, but I didn't know whether I was going north or south. So I didn't know whether I was getting closer to my destination or actually driving further away from it. And so I had to buy myself a compass, and I stuck that on the windscreen, and that was in like a little bubble that floated around, and that would point, you know, north, east, west, south, whatever, that I knew the direction I was going. And I found the importance of a compass. I was able to find my way in a city. I didn't live there for as long as 12 months, so I didn't have the time to really get to know everything and every street and find my way through it. But I realised that without a compass, I used to struggle to find where I had to go. So what causes men to lose their direction in life? I think confusion. There are so many messages around us. You know what a demagnetised compass is? It happens when it's lost its magnification and so it can't reach out to the magnetic lines in the earth, and therefore it's not true. It can't give you the direction you know. And I think that's true with men. Confusion has caused us to wonder, what's our direction? Things like, what's a real man? What is a real man? I'm sure if we put that out there today and ask people, would you fill out a little form and say, what's a real man? You'd probably come back and say, well, a real man does this, 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 and this. And many of those things certainly could be true. The questions like, how should I live? What does a real man look like? What does he do in life? Am I really a woman in a man's body? Do I need to change my sex? That's a big one today. So it's like being in the forest. How do I find my way through this forest? The social media, which hammers us in many, many ways with all sorts of things. And you, if you put your head up and say, well, this is how we should live and I oppose this in life, and then all of a sudden you've got the social media flood coming back against you saying you're racist or you're misogynist or sexist or whatever it might be. It just makes life so hard for a man to be a man. And so, and I see that we lack for our young men a real father's influence of what a man can be. Because it's like, for, ladies, it's like for men walking on eggshells. Are we going to do the wrong thing? Are people going to come against us? We've got governments that set up such tight structure around everything that happens. And so you say something and then suddenly you're in trouble with some department in the government that says, no, you can't say that. And you will, you know, we'll end up at the human rights or the religious discrimination or whatever it might be. We're facing days when it's so hard to know the way to go, and when the compass can no longer give direction, pointing true north, or the GPS batteries have gone flat. The thing about being in the bush, you tend to travel in circles when you're lost, and apparently it relates to your dominant side. And I can't remember whether your dominant side, that's the direction you go, or the other side. I just don't remember. It's something to do with the footwork, I believe. And that's why people are lost, say, it was funny, I passed that tree an hour ago. What am I doing back here again? They're circled, they're lost. And I think that's what's happening to our men. Do you know the difference between true north and magnetic north? Let me just read you a thought. True north is a direction that points directly towards the geographic North Pole. It's a fixed point on the Earth's globe. Magnetic north is different to true north, because magnetic north is the direction that a compass needle points as it aligns with the Earth's magnetic field. Now, occasionally true north and magnetic north do line up, but it's only because of the shift now I'm going to lose myself here. What does it line up on? Never mind. Let me leave it there, folks, before I confuse everybody. It did happen in 2019 anyway. That's what I found out. And so if we don't have a true north, we can find ourselves following a magnetic line that's not taking us in the absolute direction that we need to go. So what can we do? Let me back up a minute. Men losing their direction, and I think I'm losing mine this morning. The reference points are displaced in life. I, of course, grew up in a different generation, certainly than today, and there were reference points for men. I grew up with men who'd been to war. They were certainly older than me, or my dad, for example. But they had absolutes that they held to. Now, I'm not saying they were all great absolutes, or the way they lived was perfect. But you had a certain certainty about life, about your family, about taking care of your family, about your relationships, about the things you did, about how you played sport. You know, well, sport wasn't just about winning. It was about building character by playing the game, and losing could do as much for you as winning. In fact, it could probably do more for you than winning. And so we had those absolutes growing up with men, and the Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse 28, it says, not to remove the ancient landmarks. It says, don't remove the ancient landmarks which your fathers have set. What does that tell you? Fathers need to impart to the following generations. I'm not discounting the great work of mothers in families. They do a fantastic job, but I'm talking about fathers. We have to impart something to our children, and particularly to our sons, so that they know how to find their way in life. And of course, for a Christian, there can be nothing more than a Christian father who imparts to their son the importance of Christianity to find their way in life as well. The reference points, and they've been moved. The ancient landmarks have been moved in our understanding. So I believe that fathers teaching sons is a vital part, but unfortunately there are so many absent fathers. And I don't mean that the father mightn't be home, but he's just absent in the sense of teaching his son and imparting to his son. I'm glad my dad imparted some things to me in my life. He didn't impart everything. He was a good man. He wasn't perfect. But I learnt enough things to move forward in my life. And now I see in this day and age, a lot of those things have been so chucked around. The landmarks have been moved. And that's why it makes hard for a man to say, I am going in this direction and I will hold to this, because there's so many things sort of pulling against him. You know the power of water. When you walk into the surf, you can sort of get in there, but as you get further in, that water has such a force in it, just knocks you over. You ever seen a tsunami, the effect of a tsunami? It sort of rolls in and it just keeps moving everything in front of it. Trees, cars, the works are all swept away by the power of that. And I believe that's certainly what we face today. So what happens to men when they lose their direction? Well, truth becomes a casualty. We can believe the lies that people tell us. The governments of Australia all have spin doctors. I heard and I read this, so I'm just saying it may or may not be the total truth, but the previous Premier had 31 spin doctors, which I think says to you that they're trying to put things over us that aren't true, but by spinning them and turning them and twisting the truth, we're expected to believe them. And so you see what we're faced with. Everything is sort of, you wonder, is this true? Or is this, in fact, less than true? In fact, it may be a lie. The lie of faithfulness in marriage is one of the key things that we're facing today. The commitments that we should make, both to family, to marriage, to our wives, to our relationships with people. There's just breakdown and abandonment occurring, and I'm sure you've seen that well. Results in children can become the casualties. The cycle repeats. The ancient landmarks are gone. But don't feel discouraged, because there is answers to that. Society loses strength. Men are wired to provide and protect, and when the compass is lost, they don't stand up for the right. I can't tell you how affected I am by the abortion of babies that happens in our community. And it's justified. And I think the latest thing that we face is that, and I'm thankful that Robbie Katter, one of the MPs in Parliament, has stood up and said, children who are born from abortion, or like if a baby comes forth from an abortion and it is alive, that at the moment, the doctors can just ignore it and it dies. Rather than recognising this is now a human being that's been born, and we need to render it aid. And I could tell you some gross stories, but I won't this morning. I don't want to spoil your Father's Day, that somebody shared with me the other day. And it's one of the reasons so many nurses leave that field, because of what they see that's happening. And I'm glad somebody's standing up and saying, this is not right. And yet the pushback has been horrendous. And I think this is wrong. And I feel as a man, we've got to stand up for those children, the ones in the womb who get aborted, and the ones who are born after an abortion and they're alive, instead of being neglected, they need to be rendered aid. You can see the direction our society is going in, because it's while we will ignore those babies born alive from abortion, you can then take that on. Let's eliminate the children who have problems, diseases, have things in their life that make them less than what we believe is normal. And then we move on to the next level. Let's get rid of the old people. They're taking up all the space. We need the housing. We need the money. We'll eliminate that. See, that's the slope that we can go on if we follow that line. However, that's not where I want to go this morning, because I think we can make a difference. In 3 weeks' time, I've asked a guy named Nigel Dalton. Now, Nigel has been in our church. He's a Baptist and he visits this church occasionally for some of our special events. He's got family in this church. He's going to do a meet and greet, and we'll do that in the foyer. It'll be 3 o'clock. We'll give you more announcements later on where you can meet him. I think that there's every chance he will be elected as the member for Mackay. I've said before, and I'm not wanting to be super critical, but our member votes the party line at the moment in Mackay. So there's not much point in trying to raise issues and say, please don't vote for this, please vote against that. It just doesn't happen. But Nigel is strong, and he's strong about abortion. And so I know that he will present in Parliament. He's a man of strength, a man of character, and a godly man. And I, without any form of embarrassment, would encourage you to vote for him. Now, I don't normally get up and say vote for a particular party, but I'm saying vote for a man who will do a good job for our locality, okay? And pray for him. Then something else, when men lose their way, they withdraw. Sometimes out of frustration, we withdraw, we go into our caves. It may not be a literal cave, it may not be our shed as such, but we just pull back within ourselves. Why? Because we don't know how to handle the situation. Women, God bless them, love to talk it out. And if only we could follow their example, a lot of problems would get solved. But we men tend to, we want to think about it. We want to work it through before we get, we want to solve the problem. Do you know the old statement, when the going gets tough, the tough get going? But my question with that is, well, where do they go? And I think sometimes the tough withdraw. They get going, all right, they go into their caves. But other things that they do, they substitute work for relationship. And they feel, I can't handle, you know, my home as well as I'd like to. I can't relate to my son. You know, Ben sang that. He's only just got his first teenage son, but there's more coming. And his daughter will be a teenager one day. Whoa, that'll be a good day. You'll be a man of prayer. So what do guys do? Well, I'll work harder. I'll earn more. And I'll give them more. And they believe that dollars will make up for relationship and love. And it doesn't, you know that. So this is what happens to men. Then domestic violence is one of the sad things in life that happens when men lose their way. They don't understand what's required of a man in marriage and in parenthood. And sometimes I'm not in any way condoning domestic violence, but I think, why does it happen? Well, possibly because they saw it in their own family that they came from. Possibly because they're so frustrated. They don't know how to handle things and they explode. Alcohol, of course, is a major bad influence in domestic violence as well. So you can see the things that happen. And men abandon their responsibilities to society. But the question is, what can we do? I'm glad you asked. One, we set our compass. You've heard of recalibration. You recalibrate something. And we refer to instruments that way. Ladies, you probably understand this. If you're baking a cake and you're putting your ingredients in a container of some kind, or you're weighing a bowl with food in, but what you do first of all is you line up your weights and you set them to zero with that bowl on it before you put the ingredients in. Why? Because if you include the bowl in the weight of the ingredients, and if it's a mixed basket bowl, you know it's heavy, you'll mess up your ingredients. You'll get the wrong ingredients in there. And the same thing is true of so many instruments like that. These days we have electronic instruments, but they need recalibration. The speed guns that police use, they need calibration to make sure that they're right, that they give a proper, thing. What's our calibration? It's the Bible. We need to, that's the absolute north. That's the true north, not the magnetic north. Because if you've got a magnetic north and a true north, it can lead you astray. You can get off track. You can end up going in a direction that's just slightly off, but you keep going in that direction, it'll be a long way off eventually. So this is the power of the Word of God, because it's the absolute truth, and we need the Holy Spirit to lead us in that so that we know how to follow God's will and to obey that. Then the second thing is to find fixed reference points. In Proverbs 22:28, it says, don't remove the ancient landmarks. So what are the ancient landmarks? Well, we should find out what our ancient landmarks are, what being a man really is. I believe the Word of God shows that to a great extent, but we need to ask the questions. How should men live their lives? What should we do in relation to our marriage, to our family, to our children, to our society, to our business, whatever it might be, that we have a reference point to work from? Thing is, if you've got a reference point, you're not going to let go easily. When in Victoria, there's a place called Mount Dandenong. It's part of the Dandenong Ranges, which are part of the Great Dividing Range. And on this, it's about 35 kilometres out of Melbourne, but they've got a fixed point there. Now, I don't know whether they use it now. Maybe things have changed with GPS and so on. But it used to be from this fixed point, most of Melbourne could see. And so that's what surveyors would use as their reference point when they were laying out the streets and laying houses and doing all that kind of thing. It was a fixed point from which they worked. If that thing moved, you could see the problems that that would generate. So we need fixed points to work from. Things that we say, this is where I believe. I'm not going to let go of this because I know if I do, I'm going to stray. I'm going to believe things that aren't true. The third thing is to know God. You were sent to this earth for a reason. If you think you are here by chance, you're believing the devil's lie. God knew you before you were born, and He gave you a reason for being. He gave you a purpose in life, and it is your role to find out what is that purpose and how you're going to fulfill it. And the only way you can do that is to turn back to God and say, God, let your will be done in my life. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done. I just set my life on that. I listen to you and I let the Holy Spirit lead me in those things. And so that will give us what we're about, what our relationship's about, what our responsibilities are about. We find our direction and we find our purpose in life from God. Don't try and find it from other things. Don't find it from your abilities. Now, abilities can lead you into your purpose, but if we just try and find a purpose from our ability, I've quoted Elvis Presley before, but Elvis, I think, had a great voice for singing. He was a great entertainer, but I think God created him for a purpose, and that was to be a worship leader in the house of God, and He gave him a great gift for that. But it was taken in a different direction, and though he accumulated wealth, he died a young man in his 40s, overwhelmed by fame. And how sad that was. Then the fourth thing is have a mentor. Now the first mentor is the Holy Spirit. He lives within you. You need to dialogue with the Holy Spirit. You need to ask Him questions. And I've said before that the Holy Spirit is not our servant, but I found that when I have if I can't find keys, if I can't find something I'm looking for, I pray and I ask, Holy Spirit, can you help me find that? And invariably, He does. He brings it to mind. Oh, you put it here, you'd left it there, there it is under something else. Now, I'm not saying make the Holy Spirit your servant. I don't mean that. But the Holy Spirit wants to engage in your life. If He lives there, if you're born again, you know Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives within you. And if that's the truth, then let's engage with the Holy Spirit. Let's not treat Him as a stranger and we've just sort of got Him on speed dial that we can connect if we want to because He's out there somewhere. No, He's in here. So live your life like that, Holy Spirit. You lead me. So He's the first mentor that we have. Then you can have other mentors as well. We need some human mentors, I believe that. And it doesn't always require a relationship with a person to be mentored by them. Two of my key mentors, in fact, three of my key mentors are all dead. Two of them died before I was born. One was Andrew Murray, who I believe is one of the greatest churchmen of the 19th century, an outstanding man, brought such an influence to particularly South Africa through his gifts and through his dedication to God. And the other one wrote a book that My Utmost for His Highest was Oswald Chambers. And that book has been a mentoring book for me. And if you don't own that book, that's one book I encourage you to get in your life, My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. I think it's an outstanding Christian book. And then another one is Pastor David Cartledge. He was the one who led me to the Lord. But he's been dead for 19 years this year. So once again, I'm talking about people, but you need some living mentors as well. And you can have mentors for different things. There's people who are great at mentoring you in marriage. There's people who can mentor you in the realms of life. There's people who can mentor you. If you want advice on how to raise children, go and see Ben. Don't talk to somebody who's never raised children. He's still going through it. He's got more to go, that's for sure. And there's others who've walked through it. That's where you get some good mentoring advice. People can help you through those sort of things. And of course, Lisa will give you great advice as well. She's an excellent mother and does a terrific job as mother and wife. But what about spiritual mentoring? You need to find the right people to help you walk through that too. You hearing what I'm saying, men? We got to have some mentors in our life. People can bring influence. And then also, let me say, you can be a mentor to people. We talk about fatherless generation. That shouldn't stop us then reaching out to those young people and trying to be a father to them and providing that opportunity. No, you're not their birth dad as such, but you can be a spiritual dad. You can be an encourager in their life. You can help them. And that's what many of them are looking for. So there was a pilot flying a small plane from the US to Australia, just a single-engine Cessna, not very fast, landed in Hawaii and refueled, and then, you know, was planning to refuel on the way because they can't fly huge distances. The problem was he put his canned drink down beside the compass, and that caused an effect on the compass. And it was only when he couldn't find the landmarks he was looking for, you know, the place to land, that he realised he was lost. The Pacific Ocean is huge. He knew he was in trouble. And he knew that nighttime would come and that would only make things worse. So he got on the radio, and I'm guessing that the radio on a small plane in the middle of the Pacific wouldn't go very far, Ben, would it? I wouldn't think so. It wasn't made for that. But fortunately for him, there happened to be a jet flying certainly many, many thousands of feet higher than he was that picked up his distress call. And the captain said to the people on the plane, look, we've heard a distress call from a small plane that's lost. We're going to drop down considerably. And I'm asking you, would you watch out the windows? Because it's very hard to see these small craft. And so they did that. They came down and eventually, by moving around in the area, they found that small plane. And the captain of that plane was able to help that pilot. He gave him, because the captain also flew small planes and had been around in the days before all of the modern equipment, he knew some tricks and he imparted those to the pilot to help him find his way. Eventually, because that plane was on its way to New Zealand, he helped that pilot land in New Zealand. And it was a miracle. I mean, there was only fumes in the tank by the time the plane got down. It should have gone down somewhere in the Pacific. And that's why the jet was hanging around, so that where the plane went down, if it went down, he could say he could get search and rescue into a particular area. What I'm really trying to say is there's mentors out there if you look for them. There's mentors, there's people who want to help men find their way. So men, don't throw away. And I know, look, it's a man thing. When I'm lost in the car, my wife says, well, stop and ask somebody. I will drive 1,000 kilometres before I stop and ask somebody for directions. It's just the way we men are wired, ladies, so get used to it. I suppose these GPS units have really changed the game, haven't they? In fact, my wife says the female voice on the GPS unit is the only female I'll listen to. So, I mean, when you're desperate, never mind. having mentors. Ladies, can I help say this? Your help is important here. Genesis 2 verse 8, the scripture says, the God says, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. And so, please don't misunderstand my remarks this morning. God created women to be alongside men, to be a helpmeet to them, not to dominate, not to nag, not to make his life hard, but to be a helpmeet. And that is a challenging thing. I know it's probably not popular in this day and age because women have become so free. And that's not a bad thing. I'm not objecting to that at all. But I'm saying, ladies, if we're part of what God has set up, be a helpmeet to your husband. But let me not stop there because it's important I go on to the next step in that. And that's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22. So let me read it to you this morning. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the saviour of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Here's the crunch, guys. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. If ever guys come to me and say, and my wife will not do what I tell her, my first question is, do you love her like Jesus loved the church? Would you die for her? Do you cherish her? You see, guys, we're called to love our wives. That's one of the ancient landmarks that God has not moved. Society doesn't have the right to change. If we will love our wives in such a way, our wives will respond. Can I just say this, ladies? Men, yeah, we like to hear you say you love us. But you know what we want more? Is respect. That's why the Bible doesn't say women love your husbands, because I think that's a given. Men want respect. The worst thing you can ever say to your husband is, I do not respect you. If you use those words, you've just destroyed your marriage. It won't be long before that marriage will be irretrievably broken down. So ladies, can I encourage you, tell your husbands you respect them. Respect them for how they love you. Respect them for how they love your children. Respect them for how they provide for you. Respect them for the things that they do and who they are. Men are not perfect. Nobody's perfect except Jesus. But we're trying. And if you respect us, we'll do better. That's why men struggle when women come against them and argue with them and nag them. They feel disrespected. And nothing tears a man down more than being disrespected. And may I encourage you, ladies, teach your children to respect their fathers. And that's what the Bible calls us to do. It says, honour your father and mother. Honouring requires a respect. And you say, but that person who was my father didn't deserve respect. Maybe not. But I understand this principle in God. There's people who will hurt you who never deserve forgiveness, but you do not have the privilege of unforgiveness. Because if you do, you destroy yourself. It's like an acid that works within you. And so I'm saying respect. And today, some of you might think on your father and you might think, oh God, he was a terrible man. Well, if you will respect the fact that he was your father, I'm not asking you to respect what he did. Respect the fact that he was your father. That leaves it in God's hands. If the person's still alive, God can do something in their lives. The trouble is we get in front of God when God wants to deal with something in somebody's life. If I don't forgive them, God says, I can't get past you. There's nothing I can do in the place. And so as we come into the principles that God lays, then God can work. And that's what it's about. We get independent, we get proudful. And we say, well, I'm not going to forgive them. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to relate to them. I'm not going to say sorry first. Man, that's a hard one for us guys, isn't it? Saying sorry first. But sometimes we have to. And we have to say it to our kids. I tell you what, if you'll do that, you'll see God move in their lives like you cannot believe. So, the good news is, men, we can make a difference. Even though Satan might tell you that isn't true. And the reason why is because God's with us. Evil may swirl around about us, but righteousness will prevail. If we live a righteous life, if we live the way that God's called us to do, we find our true north in the Word of God and our relationship with God. We can hold fast to those things. That's what society's looking for. Men who will be men, not men who run around guzzling beer, telling dirty jokes, not men who look like, you know, big hunk sportsmen. Real men are the ones who stand for what they believe, who'll affirm what marriage is about, what relationships are about, and we can make a difference. And the world is looking for that. They might know they're looking for it, but they're looking for it. And it's a truth that we need to walk in. And I believe Christian men can provide that more than any other man in society. And I'm praying the other men in society will rise up too. But Christian men should be evidencing that, shouldn't we? Amen. There's a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. And I'll read it to you. And in the King James Version, it says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong." I love those words. In the Amplified Bible, it says, "Be on guard, stand firm in your faith in God, respecting his precepts and keeping your doctrine sound. Act like mature men and be courageous, be strong." That should be the heart of our men today. Quit you like men, be strong. Let's do that, guys. Even though things are rambling against us and, you know, just trying to tear us down, it doesn't mean that we give up. So I'm saying, men, let's rise up. This morning, as I do every Father's Day, I want to pray for men. And I'm going to invite you men to come and stand with me at the front. And look, please don't feel embarrassed. If you don't want to come, that's fine, you stay. But I'm asking you to come down. And if we've got young men here, you're not a father. This isn't just for fathers, this is for males. And all males will eventually become men. From young men, they'll become older men. And so can we stand together, men, this morning? And I'm just going to pray over your lives a prayer. Be strong in the Lord. Be in the power of his might. Ladies, I want you to look at these men and say, "I respect these men." Come on, guys. Yeah, come in a bit closer. There's people behind you. Let them in. Cross the front. We want them all. Isn't this great? Look at the potential that's here, tied up in these men. When God gets his hands on these guys and looses them to do all that they can do in God, can you just come in a little tighter, guys? We just got people behind you. You need to come down. Gosh, have we got more men here than women today? Isn't that amazing? I always wanted a church with men in it. We're about being men, aren't we? I love manhood. I think it's important and I think it's God's intent, not in any way to put down women. We think women are wonderful too and we honour them in their roles. We need both functioning the way God intended. Guys, can I just say to you this morning, there's a sense in which we need to take a deep breath and put our shoulders back and say, "I'm going to live for God. I'm going to determine to be a man who stands for what he believes. And I'm going to let God lead me." And that can be a very challenging thing because who knows where God may lead you and what he might take you into. But don't give up. Hang in there. Be strong. The Bible says, "Quit you like men, be strong." In other words, determine something in your mind that you can make a difference in the lives of others, that you can make a difference in the lives of this people in this society and in our country. If men across Australia, and today there are many men in church in all different denominations, but if those men could rise up in what they truly believe, we can make a difference in our nation, because sadly, I just think our nation's on a terrible decline, which is a pity. Australia, in my opinion, is one of the greatest countries in the world, if not the greatest, for what we had, but we're losing it. and we don't want to lose it, particularly the strength of Christian factor and what real fatherhood is. So, man, let's pray together. Would you like to just put your hand on the shoulder of the guy beside you? We can't do this alone. We work together. We walk together. We stand together. That's what God intended. He never looked for us to be individuals just trying to change everything, because individuals can be knocked down. But when we walk with other people, they hold us up and they encourage us. We're strengthened together. And so, Father, this morning, I pray over these men. Lord, where we have lost our way a little bit, where we've lost the true north, I'm praying, Father, let us find true north again. Through you, by your Holy Spirit within us, will you bring us that direction? If our compass hasn't pointed perhaps in the right direction, we can recalibrate and find the true way that you intend. Lord, may our hearts be so strong in you. May they be so determined in you. Lord, we know that within this world there's much evil abounding, but I take the word of God that there is much grace abounding. And it's abounding to men who will open their hearts to God and saying, here am I, Lord, use me. Let your hand rest on my life with an anointing that will bring life to others and hope to others and strength to others. And by prayer, as men stand in prayer, things will change, that our country can change, that we can see right overcoming evil, because our life is in your hands, Lord. And I thank you, Father, this morning. I bless these men in your name. I bless them with a great sense of purpose in you. I bless them with the life of Christ, that they might walk in prosperity, that they might walk in a sense of knowing you and experiencing you, that they might walk as men who are anointed by the Holy Ghost, standing truly as men in the face of things that would come against them. We thank you, Lord, this day. Your hand is upon us. Your life is in us. The hope and grace of God resting upon us. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Be blessed, guys, and be men, won't you? So give your friend a handshake, a high five, a hug, whatever it might be.